guys, I want to share something today. It's a standalone message. This is not a series. By the way, your last Sunday's message, wasn't that awesome? You know, after that message, I've been praying for myself. I've been saying, God, watch over my heart. Let my heart be pleased. I don't want to be deceived, because the greatest person to deceive themselves are those who've been walking with the Lord for a long time. If you've been a Christian for a long time, it's so easy to deceive yourself, because you can pull up all the scriptures to justify your out of line. So the more you've been a Christian for a long time, the more you're going to have to be like, God, I want to be sober. I don't want to be deceived. So just that was a great word, man. Thank you for sharing that word last Sunday. By the way, it's up on their website. You can go check it out. And but this morning, with everything going on around our world, I want to talk about the coming back of Jesus today. You know, it's crazy because, you know, all the stuff happening in the world, amen, the hurricanes, the storms, the nuclear threat from North Korea, you know. And now, last night, I was listening to my voicemail, and one of the brothers who's not here today, because he was telling me he was sick, he wouldn't be in the church, but he left me a voicemail saying, hey, Pastor, by the way, have you heard of September 23rd? Can you look into that and let me know what you think? I'm like, what is September 23rd? So, sure enough, I go on YouTube, September 23rd. There are all these people having this conspiracy. Something is going to happen. Okay, I'm not here to talk about that. But I'm here to say, if you've been watching or hearing whatever is going on, I want to talk about what's happening. Yeah. What is going on in our day? Now, first of all, before we talk about, you know, all this stuff happening in our world today, let me just be clear today. Let no man tell you that they know a debt when Jesus is coming back. Because Jesus said himself, he said, in the end, he said in Matthew 24, he said, no one knows. No one knows about that day or the hour or that the angels in heaven. Jesus said, I don't even know myself. I know that we're in the last days. I know it's in the end times. That's very obvious. But nobody knows the time. I'm sure Jesus is sitting next to the Father. He's like, Father, should I go now? And Father's like, no way. Should I go now? No way. When do I go? I'll tell you when to go. I'm sure that white horse is ready. You know the Bible says coming back with a white horse? I'm sure that white horse is prepped and ready to show up. But nobody knows the time. That's what Jesus said. But here's what my goal is today. We need to understand our time. The Bible says from 1 Chronicles 12:32, the men of Issachar, men who understood the times, understood the times and what should be done. My hope this morning in this standalone message is to help you understand the times and what you should do about it. Okay. Understand where we are, what we are living in, and what you should do. What are you going to do about the times we're living in? So that's my goal this morning. As a church, I want to tell you, we believe, part of our core belief in Winning Christian Center is the second coming back of Jesus. We believe Jesus is coming back. That's one of our beliefs, that he's coming back for his church, he's coming back for his people. And we get that from the Bible in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. Look, this is what it says. Jesus has risen from the dead. Now he's about to go to heaven. And the Bible says that he had said this, they watched as he was taken up. Jesus was literally taken up. And a cloud hid him from their sight. And verse 10 says, they were looking intently into the sky as he was going up, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Now these are angels. Angels stood right there. And the angels then asked, men of Galilee, they say, why do you stand here looking into the sky? I'm like, angels, why do you ask such a question? I mean, they're looking at Jesus being taken up because he's disappearing in the sky. This same Jesus, Now, this is so powerful. The same Jesus that was crucified, rose from the dead, and went back to heaven after 40 days of living on earth, after he rose from the dead, the same Jesus, not a different Jesus, the same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back. Will come back in the same way as you sent him. So the same way he went up, the same way he's coming back. But we don't know the hour. But the Bible says we don't know the hour or the time, but it's given to us to know the seasons. To know the seasons that when he's about to come back. You see, God never wanted you and I to be in the dark concerning the coming back of Jesus. God doesn't want you to be unaware. He doesn't want you to be ignorant about the coming back of Jesus. So God never left us in a place where we have no idea what's happening. So when we're seeing all these things happening around our world, is to understand that something is happening and something is about to happen. Now, God wants us to know the seasons. And it's very evident with everything happening in our world, the threat of nuclear war, the hurricanes, the storms, is all from Luke 21. Look at verse 25. He said there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. So within the stars and the moon, there will be stuff happening. You know, now you can say, well, we just had an eclipse and we just had that. Yeah, but there is more stuff going on that you may never know about. But the Bible says there will be that. And on earth, dismay among nations. Bewildered by the rolling of the sea and the surging of the waves. So he says, in these days, there are going to be storms. There's going to be hurricanes. There's going to be nations will be bewildered, be mourned because of the terror and the tension that is building up within the nations. It's all prophetic. It's all biblical. It's all signs of the times that we are closer to the coming back of Jesus than we've ever been in history. Look at that. Men will faint from the fear of terror. Just in UK, just this year, they've had 5 terrorist attacks in London, just this year. They've happened in other parts of the world. But the Bible says the fear of terror. Remember, since September 11, 2011, you've never flown the same way. Now everything has changed how you get on the plane because it's fear of terror. Why? Because it's biblical, it's prophetic, it's God talked about it. Anxiety over what's coming upon the earth. You know, you can sleep at night because of Jesus, but there are people who are not able to sleep at night because they don't know what's going to happen to their world. But the Bible says terror and fear of what's happening, for the powers of heavens will be shaken. You know, things will happen, earthquakes will happen. We probably didn't hear the news because, you know, we're caught up in the storms that happened down in Texas and Florida. But just a week ago, they had a massive earthquake in Mexico. These are all signs of the end times that we're getting closer to the coming of Jesus than we've ever been. Now, I believe that I should plan my life like I have 100 years to live, but I should live my life like Jesus is coming back today. Okay, that's the philosophy. The Bible says here, at that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. So, now, believe it or not, that's where we stand. Jesus is coming back. Now, I had this story of two pastors. A friend of mine was talking about this story. Two pastors who were Baptist pastors. They were putting up signs for their church. The churches are apart. They're right across each other on the street. And one pastor was putting this sign saying, the end is near. Big old sign, the end is near. Then the pastor says, change your ways. Turn around before it's too late. And this dude comes driving in a truck and he screams and shouts at the pastors like, you crazy Christians, don't you have something better to do? He shouted at them, called them fanatics, and he drove off. Next thing they know, they hear a big splash. And one of the pastors said, I think our sign should have said, the bridge is out. So, I don't think, you know, I think that's funny, but here's the thing, guys. The end is here, the end is coming. Jesus is about to come back. You see, the Bible says, when these things begin to take place, worry? No. Fear? No. Be anxious? No. He says, stand up and lift up your head. Because your redemption is drawing near. I know when we think about end times, a lot of people freak out. Oh my goodness, Jesus is about to come back. Some people freak out. Some people get worried. I'm like, oh, Jesus is about to come back again. But for a Christian who's living the godly life, walking with Jesus, the coming back of Jesus doesn't have to freak you out. Because the Bible says you should just set up. Lift your head. Now, I want you to picture, when I was reading that, I'm picturing, you ever seen a movie where people are stranded at sea? And they're stranded and days and nights, and going back days and nights, they're laying, they have nothing to eat, they're at sea, they have nothing to eat, the nights have gone, the sharks have come, the sharks have gone, they've survived, and then suddenly they see a plane. Did they stay seated? They do what? They stand up. And wave their hands because their redemption has drawn near. That's the image that we have to understand, that as Christians we live in this life, this world that we live in, it ain't our home. Earth stinks. Their challenges, their struggles, their problems, their issues, their, you know, their bills to pay. But when we begin to think about the return of Jesus, the coming back of Jesus, when we see all these things happening around our world that are pointing to the coming back of Jesus, we stand up. We walk tall, shoulders out, because, hey, somebody coming for me. I'm cool, I'm well. Now, that's where you should be as a Christian. Now, if you are worried inside of you about the coming back of Jesus, then that's a different story. Yeah. We got to find out why you worry. Amen. Why are you freaking out? If you're freaking out about his coming, then we need to check where you're standing. Because the Bible says, draw, because his redemption draws nigh. Can I get an amen? Here's what I think you should do. Just live your day like Jesus is coming back today, period. It doesn't mean you shouldn't plan your life, do your stuff, but live every day like he's coming back, because we don't know when he's coming back. Now, I want to talk about a few things. These are some of the signs. You see, every generation in the Bible thought he was coming back in their times.
Yes.
Which I think was a healthy mindset. Because if I'm thinking he's coming back now, it changes how I live my life. Does that make sense? But you can also lay a case that this generation is probably the most accurate in terms of end time narrative of how Jesus is going to come back. Because many things that are prophetically spoken in the Bible are right before our eyes. And I want to show you some of the things that we have in our days today that are very prophetic, okay? That are happening in our times. One, worldwide satellite technology. 100 years ago, or 500 years ago, this technology did not exist. Satellite technology is when something could happen 10,000 miles away and we can all see it live at the same time. You know, for instance, Olympics, the Olympic scam. I won't talk about football because I know we love it, but the rest of the world don't care about American football. But let's talk about Olympics. When the Olympics are going on, all nations care about it, right? But we can all see something happening at the same time around the world in a place that we are far from because of satellite technology. Well, the Bible says in Revelation
chapter 11, verse 9, it says, and for 3.5 days, all peoples, okay, tribes, languages, nations. So that means everywhere, right? Will do a stare through their screens, through their phones, screens that are your cell phone, your tablet, your computer. Everybody will do a stare. You know, don't think we have this addiction to our cell phone screens for nothing. It's all set up. Something's happening. You understand? So it says, we'll stare at their bodies. No one will be allowed to bury them. Now, to give you background information on that, this is about Elijah and Moses, according to Bible prophecy. They believe that after the rapture, when the Christians have been taken away, there'll be tribulation happening in the world, and Elijah and Moses will be in Jerusalem, and they will be talking about Jesus. They'll be preaching Jesus, but the world will be hating Jesus, so there will be an enemy of Christ around them, but they will keep talking about Jesus. They'll keep talking about Jesus, and they'll come to kill him. And the Bible says they'll be able to spit fire out of their mouth and kill those who are trying to kill them. And they'll have the power to turn oceans and rivers into blood. So those are, but for a Christian, you won't have to be here, because I believe that God says, I'll take my people out. Jesus says, I'll take my people. Now, all this I'm saying, you can go read for yourself in Revelation chapter 11. So that's what's going to happen. So the world is going to hate them because these guys have been out in Jerusalem just preaching Jesus and spitting fire to those who wanted to kill them and turning water into blood. So you go to your faucet, you turn water and blood comes out. You know, this is what's going to happen in those days. So the Bible says the Antichrist, the beast, will come and kill them. So they will die. And for 3 days, they won't be buried because people will be like celebrating, oh, they're dead. But the story doesn't end there, because after 3.5 days, the breath of God comes upon them and they're lifted up into heaven. But here's a cool thing. 500 years ago, this prophecy could not be fulfilled because there was no worldwide satellite technology. But now the technology is there that everyone will be able to see them. Technology. Okay? So here's another one. That's one, right? Here's a second sign that we are in the last days. All right, people, I'm excited. Here, come on, listen. There'll be worldwide financial technology. So all of you might have got credit cards, debit cards that have a chip on it. We're getting there. There's a chip on your credit card because that's all financial technology that we are entering in. You see, the Bible says that in the last days, the Antichrist will come and convince the world that we need to have a one world order currency. One currency. So we won't have the American dollar, the Australian dollar, the British pounds, or the Japanese yen. It's all going to be one currency. And we're going to get there. But here's what is happening. The Bible says he required everyone. In those days. Now, guess what? People will be open to this because the world is seeing the wrath of God. They can't understand where all these people went to because the rapture has happened. Jesus has taken his people away. The world is in chaos. So there's all this happening, and this man comes to promise peace to the world. And the Bible says he will require everyone, small and very, rich and poor, free and slave, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. What's the mark for? So that way no one could buy or sell anything without that mark. Which is in the name of the beast or the number representing his name. So can you imagine someone going to Target, like, it's on the head. Poof, you know, just scan the head, you know, it's all right there. But it's the time, this is our days. Just about a month ago at a prayer meeting, and I was told by Seguin that a company in Wisconsin had started this technology where they could put a chip in your hand, and now you can just swipe and the doors open. You don't have to bump a card on to the doors open. You just swipe and the doors open for you. You go to the cafeteria, you pick up what you want, and you swipe your hand. That technology is there. That was actually, I verified that from the New York Times.
If you read the New York Times, that is the article. A microchip implants for employees, one company says yes. 50 out of the 80 employees say yes. This is all that experiment, but the technology is here. So when the Antichrist comes, because a rupture could happen anytime, Jesus can just take these people anytime. But when that happens, we live in a time where the technology is being experimented right now, to where they can just require everyone to have a chip in your hand or your forehead, and you can just swipe it. But it's happening right before us. Now listen, I've read this in the Bible for a while, but I never knew this could happen in my time. I just never thought that it would be in my time that they actually put a chip in your body. But now a company in Wisconsin has that going on. It just takes a few years. Other companies saying, we want that too. But you won't be here, right? Number three. Here's another three. Worldwide knowledge. Worldwide wave of knowledge. We call it internet. We live in the information age. Right now, you can find out about everything, anything, anytime, but just going on that place of knowledge. All that we call it Google. I just Google it. YouTube. You want to fix something? Go on YouTube. Somebody will show you how to fix something. It's our time. Why do you think that's happening? Because the Bible says that. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. Look, check this out. You've got to be crazy not to love the Bible. I just think it is. This is very. Look at Daniel 12, 3. But you, Daniel, keep this prophecy as a secret. Seal up the book until the time of the end, when men will roam here and there, and knowledge will increase. Roaming. How many can go on the internet and you can roam over there and roam back over here and roam over there, and we want it as fast as we can, right? But the Bible says knowledge will do what? Increase. As a matter of fact, they're saying that we have more scientists living in our times than ever lived before us. One of the top scientists, the top of the science world, the best of them are living in our times. You know that there's been so much advancement in science, in medical, in medicine, in just technology, in every aspect, in aerospace, in every aspect of life, knowledge has exponentially increased.
That's right.
Why? Because it's Bible. It says in the last days, knowledge will increase. So it's happening before our eyes. They're doing amazing things. In the next 5 years, you don't know what may be happening. Okay, that's number three. Why we believe we're living in the last days just within our own times. Number four, worldwide evangelism. That's what we ought to be excited about. God said he ain't coming back until everyone has got a chance to hear the gospel of Jesus, that he died for them, paid the price for them, and he wants to give him eternal life. And he's calling men and saying, I gave my life for you, will you give your life for me? I died for you, will you live for me? And if people choose not to live for Jesus, that's on them. But everybody will get a chance to hear about the love of Jesus. Now, check this out. He says, in this gospel, the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a testimony to all the nations, and the end will come. So God is a just God. That there won't be a man who will stand before God and say, I never knew about Jesus. When he asks, what did you do with Jesus? Who is Jesus? Everybody is going to know about Jesus. Now, here's some statistics that I came across in my research. My thing is moving. Okay. So, I want to show you a little bit of this. There, 17. You see, there are about 193 nations in the world, right? But when he said this gospel preached to all nations, he was talking about people groups. And there are 17,000 people groups all over the world. 17,000. Now, 10,000 of those people groups have been reached. In other words, they've heard of Jesus. They've had a pastor. They've had access to a Bible. They've had knowledge. They've been reached. It doesn't matter if they're living for Jesus or not. They have been reached. They know. 10,000 of them. 7,000 of those people groups are unreached. That's the statistics. They haven't heard of Jesus. They live far in remote places where they haven't heard the gospel. Nobody has taken the gospel to them. But all that is changing, because here is a statistic that says in 1970, there were 1.2 billion Christians in the world. 1970, right? But then the recent statistic says that in 2017, there are 2.6 billion Christians in the world. In other words, in the last 47 years, more people have come to know about Jesus than they were for 1,970 years. Why is God speeding that up? Because the time is coming. So everybody has, there are people today that have left everything to go preach Jesus. There are people today that have walked away from six-figure jobs to just go in far places and lay down their lives to tell people about Jesus. There are people today who have sacrificed their lives to go in places where it's dangerous to talk about Jesus. There are people who have sacrificed their lives that if they to go in places where they find you in the Bible, you're killed by holding a Bible. But they're sneaking Bibles into these places because they have said, Jesus, if I die, I die, but I can't hold it. I gotta take this gospel. And there are people who are doing that today. They're undercover. They're risking everything to say, I've got to tell somebody about Jesus. That's what they're living for. Because they know the time is at hand. Jesus is about to come back. Now, I don't know about you. When you think about all these things, I mean, do you want to live your life for a job? How's that going to go, Ron? Do you want to live your life for a boyfriend and girlfriend?
Reach faster.
How's that going to go down? I mean, what if he comes back and you put all your eggs in a job, or you put all your eggs in boyfriend and girlfriend, you put a job in a career, you know, you're like, oh, this is my golden opportunity, I gotta go up the chains, this is my career. What if he comes back? And that's all you live for. I mean, thank God for every blessing, but ladies and gentlemen, there's no better way to live your life than to live your life for Jesus, because that's the only guaranteeing thing. He's coming back. Why not live for him? And you still get hang up about everything else, your own struggles, your own issues, what makes you happy, and how you want everything done, and live a self-centered life. But I'm saying, man, if Jesus came back today, here's a question. How do you feel about that? If he came back today, because we see the prophecies are happening. Nobody knows the time. But if he came back today, how do you feel about that? Would you be ready? Would you be ready? Or would you have regrets? So the things that you're holding on, are they worth it? The life you're choosing to live, is it worth it? Is it worth it?
what you're choosing to hold on to. The way you're choosing to live your life, is it worth it being left behind? Because you gotta see what's happening around our world. You gotta see all these things going on. We are generation. Now, is the end near? Are we living in the last days? Yeah, but most importantly, this could be your last days. It could be your last days. And not everyone's last day, could it be your last days? I mean, what if it is your last days? What if you only have 2 days, 5 days? But of course, God is not going to tell you you have 5 days. But what if it's your last days? I want to encourage you guys that just say this is all temporary. That's true. Very true. But who are you living your life for? All
right.
Jesus is coming back. Now, so what should we do? I want to talk about two things and I want to let you to discuss the rest, okay? This is what I believe we should do. Number one, this should comfort us. Knowing that Jesus is coming back should comfort your life. Because, like I said, us stinks. There's a lot of things going on. But here's what the Bible says. Then together with them, okay. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven. You see that? The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of an angel, and with a trumpet call of God. First, the Christians who die will rise from the graves. This is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. That those who know Jesus, if Jesus came today, we are not going first, but those who have died in Jesus, those who died believing Christ, will be taken first. So the graves will open. Okay? That's what it says. This is the rapture. Okay? They will be taken. Okay? And look at verse 17. Then together with them, we who are still alive. So when Jesus comes back, some people are going to be alive. And we don't know, but could be you or me, but some people will be alive. Those who remain and still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up. That word caught up, okay, it was a Greek word called rapture, which we get the word rapture, which means to be suddenly snatched. Okay? Some Bible says in the twinkling of an eye, like just like that, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, then we'll be with the Lord forever. This would be like a marriage reunion. You know what I'm saying? It's like Jesus is in heaven saying, God, I'm about to bring your bride. I'm about to bring my bride to you. I'm in heaven, but hey, I got people down there. My church is down there. My church is down there. People that believe me, it's my bride. I'm about to bring him. So the Bible says when God says it's time, then God's force and power will come down. Those who believe in Jesus are like, I'm getting my people. So the graves will open up, just like he did for Lazarus. The graves will open up. His people that have died believing Jesus will come up. And those who are alive, Jesus will say, they'll be snatched. And then we'll all meet Jesus in the air, because that will be the time we meet our groom, our Father, and then he will take us, introduce us to the Father. That's what the Bible uses, the language that he is the groom and we are the bride. It's a marriage reunion, almost kind of to indicate that we need to understand we are kept to be presented before the Father. It's time for preparation. Have you ever gotten through a wedding process? When you go through a wedding process, it's a lot of work. You know, by the dress, the venue, the clothes, the weight loss program, all this, because you're getting ready for a wedding. And the moment comes when it all happens and we celebrate. But you see, when you're about to get married, ain't time to be dating or seeing other guys. When you're about to get married, ain't time to be flirting with anyone. If I'm the groom, I'm not going to be okay with that. If I'm about to marry you and I find you joking with some jokers, and we're about to get married, ain't going down well. I'm not digging that. That's not cool. What about us, the Church of Christ,
We're still dating the world, but we've been kept for Jesus. But you're still dating the world. You're still flooding with the world. What makes you think Jesus is cool with that? He's like, I'm about to present you to my Father, and yet you're still dating the world? You got one leg in me and one leg in the world. You treat me like a button. You switch me on and then you switch me off. But you want me to present you before my Father? Like I'm about to present you as my bride, but you're dating other guys in the world? Think about that. If you won't be okay with that, what makes you think Jesus is going to be okay with that? How's he going to say, this is the one I died for and laid my life for? So he says, if you're mine, be mine. So that I can proudly come to the Father and say, Father, he's the one washed in the blood. My people. All right. So I got to encourage each other. He's coming back. That's an encouragement, right? I don't know how you think, but I think it's an encouragement. You're like, oh, no, that he did. But no, it's an encouragement, man. That's what Bible says. All right. Number two, she prepare us. You know, be prepared because the Bible says, listen, God never wanted us to be ignorant about this. He gave us everything to prepare ourselves. Here's what we found out. There are about 300 references in the Bible that talk about the end time or the coming back of Jesus. Why is that so many in the Bible? Because God doesn't want you to be in the dark. That's why he said, I'm going to give you as much stuff to read. Look, there are about 260 chapters in the New Testament, and 216 of those have something today to say about the coming back of Jesus. Or the return of it. Check this out. There are 27 New Testament books and 23 of them have something directly to say about the end times and the coming back. Why? Because God doesn't want you to be in the dark. He loves you so much that he has given us all the information. He wants us to be ready for his coming back because it's happening. Now, I want to read this scripture in Revelation. Actually, not. That's not. Now, concerning, this is 1 Timothy. It says, let me give you that scripture. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. It says, now, concerning how and when all this happened, like how and when all this rapture will happen, being snatched and taken away, dear brothers and sisters. So he's talking to Christians, not talking to the unsaved. Because it said brothers and sisters, right? We don't really need to write to you. Because this is all. Should be reading it. It's all there, right? But he goes ahead and says, for you know quite well that the Lord's return will come unexpectedly. Now this is crazy. Like a thief in the night. Like a thief in the night. He'll just come unexpectedly. Think about that. Unexpectedly, you know, I've been a victim of a house breaking. Like years ago, I came over to my old house and the doors were wide open. Somebody had broke into our house. But if I had known they were breaking into my house, I wouldn't have left, man. I'd be there on guard, right? Get me a bulldog and just say, okay, come on, try to break in. But nobody knows, right? That's what the Bible says, like a thief in the night. He comes, rapture will happen unexpectedly. We know the seasons, but we don't know when. When people are saying everything is what? Peaceful and secure. When people are going to parties, Friday clubs, you know, nightclubs, they're going to go have a good time, right? Then disaster will follow them as suddenly as a pregnant woman never begins, and there will be no escape. But you aren't in the dark about these things. You remember we said, I don't need to write to you because I just gave you statistics. How many chapters in the Bible talk about the end time and the coming back of Jesus? He says, you are not in the dark because he's counting that you're reading. Or at least you're listening when you're going to church. He says you're not supposed to be where? In the dark. You're supposed to know. Dear brother, sister, and you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief in the night. He says, you shouldn't be surprised because you'll be taken. Okay, you missed that. No, you really did. You really did. The reason you're not surprised, because you're up there with him. You've been taken. You know who's going to be surprised? Is when they turn around like, what happened? Where'd they go? Okay, I think it just happened and I missed it. You missed it. But he says you should not be surprised, because God is counting on you to be on point, living in love with Jesus, walking with Jesus, living for the glory of God, because he doesn't want you to be surprised. Can I get an amen? Amen. I don't care whether you give me an amen, but I think I can amen myself right there. Man. What are you all thinking about? He's speaking to Christians. So, I want to keep this conversation going, but let me just give you a few things. I was going to have you discuss on your tables and talk, but I want to give, if you want, could you please take a snapshot of that, write it down, take that as your assignment today, to just read about that. You're going to read those scriptures. They're going to show you what you ought to do, how to live your life. You know, read the scriptures, write them down, study those scriptures. For heaven, not for earth. Be heavenly minded. Think for eternity. What are you doing with your life for eternity? I want you to stand in the truth, not in the lies of this world. Stand in the truth of God's word. God, stand in the truth. That's how you get prepared to be captured, to be raptured. You know, all that, that's what you got to do and live your day and wait to be raptured. How cool is that? Okay. Preach the gospel. Share the gospel with you, with people. Tell, you know, people say, man, are you freaking about this North Korea? Well, have you known Jesus? Jesus says, because of Jesus, I don't freak out about that. If anything happened, I know where I'm going. Use the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus. Tell somebody about Jesus. Love people. It's all about people. Do you know that everything else doesn't matter? Only people matter? Because people are the only thing that are eternal life, that lasts forever. Everything else is not going to last forever. People will. So that's why we want to value talking to people, reaching out to people, sharing the gospel with people. Because they're the only thing that matters. Prepare yourself to meet your God. How you live your life. Make sure you're ready to meet Jesus. So if you end up dying, you want to be ready. Come on, somebody. Okay. All right, we're going to close there.